Every one of us has potential to be clumsy today. Every one of us has potential to be stupid today. Every one of us. Okay? Let's not ever blame it on God. Okay? And there are some Christians that they just blame the devil for everything. You know, he doesn't really, you know, need to do a lot of things the way we live our life sometimes, you know. We do ourselves in pretty good sometimes, don't we? Okay, what does this say? The back of the bulletin, every weakness you have is an opportunity for God to show his strength in your life. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power, God says, is made perfect in your weakness. How many of you like God's perfect power working in your life? It's made perfect when you're weak. You know, you could even rejoice in your weaknesses, because it's an opportunity for the Spirit of God to demonstrate the overcoming, powerful grace that God has released in our life. Hallelujah. 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 So, Father, we're thankful. We're joined together this morning as believers, as your children, your sons, your daughters, to agree together, to believe together, to honor you, to praise you, to worship you, to worship you through your word, to honor you through your word, that every word that would come out of my mouth, Lord, let it be from your heart. I have no desire to give away anything that I got that's of me. I want to give away all that I got that's of you. May your life freely flow. May you change us to a measure that we've never, ever seen before. We want an encounter. We want an encounter today, Lord, with you. Not with religion, not with somebody's understanding, not with somebody's knowledge. We want an encounter with you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I pray that this would not be, it's already not a regular church service. No worship team shows up. Okay, I think it's the first time ever since I've been here. Ever. How many years have we been here? Where's Nancy? She knows those facts. 95. 94. How many years is that? 24 years. In 24 years, this is the first time ever a worship team didn't show up. Well, it's not going to stop us, because it's not about the preacher. It's not about the worship team. It's about the one who we're worshiping, about the one who we're here to preach about, teach about, right? It's about him, and he is well able. He is well able. Hallelujah. God is able to do abundantly, exceedingly far beyond all we could ever ask or imagine. How many of you got a good imagination? Okay, now give it to God and watch him go with it. And then he hands it back to you. Here, try this one. Once it gets in God's hands, now you're going to really see something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, and that's okay. That's okay. But if we have an expectancy that it's going to be different, okay, our expectancy, listen, has got to be in the Lord. Our expectancy can never be in people. You will be disappointed if your expectancy, hey, if your expectancy is in your spouse, you're going to get disappointed. Hey, I'm telling you. How many of you like disappointment? No. No. So our expectancy has to always be in him. I don't know how many times I would, you know, I'd have a freak out day where I'm just freaking out over something, you know, or something somebody did or said or whatever, you know. And then it took a long time. And then one day I'm having a quiet time there. And the Holy Spirit said to me, what are you doing? I love it when he says, what are you doing? And I have to stop and think, what do you mean? Because I'm doing a lot of stuff. Maybe I shouldn't be doing, but I don't know I shouldn't be doing. And this particular time, it was, you know, why are you acting like this? Why are you going down the despondency cycle to the ground? Why are you headed down? Well, I mean, you know, look what they're doing. He said, who? And he said to me, son, I'm going to give you an opportunity to never, ever take this spiral again. Listen to me. Don't ever let your expectancy be in anyone. Let it always be in me. I will never, ever lead you wrong. I will never, ever harm you. I will never, ever do anything except to bless you. I never have any negative thoughts about you. I have only good thoughts about you. Son, always keep your expectancy in me and in me alone. Don't take that spiral anymore. You don't have to. You're free, son. You're free. Hey, you are free. Hey? Now, I know that was for somebody here. Somebody here, you're bothered by something somebody did still. All right, get out your toilet. Put it in your toilet. And let's flush it. See ya. Oh. Yep, Tony, you're crazy. I'm God crazy. Yeah, I'm crazy. I'm God crazy. Can you think of anything else to be crazy about? Nothing else beneficial, that's for sure. That's for dang sure. Wow. Look at this scripture, Matthew 6:21. It's not where we're going, but I just want Matthew 6:21, real simple. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Get this. What you focus your thoughts and heart upon, your thoughts and intentions of your mind on, you build a treasure. With what we're thinking on, what we're focusing on, we are building a treasure in our mind. What's going to happen? Our heart is going to be where that treasure is. Whatever you're focused on, whatever you're thinking on, whatever you're dwelling on, whatever you're meditating on, whatever, if it's anxious thoughts, worried thoughts, stressful thoughts, okay, you are building a treasure that your heart will draw out of that treasure. And then it comes out of your mouth. Never be shocked when you say something. You know, how many times have you something come out of your mouth and you say it and you say, I don't know where that came from. I don't know where that came from. What the heck? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. It came out of the treasure that we built in our heart from stinking thinking. What are we doing? What are we doing here the last weeks and months after months and years now? What are we doing here? We're changing the way we think. We're repenting every single week. We're changing the way we look at life, changing the way we look at ourselves and our relationship with our Creator God, with our King and our Lord, and the one who's living within us. We're repenting. We're changing the way we think, which is doing what? It's renewing our mind so that our soul, our mind, will, and emotions can get saved. Eh? So it's my prayer that we go deep today. I don't want this just to be another Sunday service. I don't want this just to be another Sunday gathering. You know what? I don't want just a Sunday gathering. I want us to go really deep into the Holy Ghost today. I want us to go really deep in the Spirit today. And come out of here, radically whack changed. So that we can bring to that hurry. Why isn't this place packed out? We got the goods, man. We have got the goods. Pray for blind eyes, they open, deaf ears open up. I mean, we see thousands of miracles. Why isn't somebody chopping a hole in the roof and lowering somebody down in a cot because they can't get help out there? Why isn't that happening here? I'll tell you why. Because we bought the lie that we need to give people out there doctrine instead of life. It's rampant. I see it in churches all over the world. Thousands of church leaders and pastors that I've been blessed and privileged to minister to. They're preaching doctrine and not life. I make it my goal and make it my aim to preach Christ and Christ crucified. Jesus Christ. If you don't hear me talking about Jesus Christ, I took a slip today. He's the reason I live. He ought to be the reason we live. Amen. So I know we've been given time for people to just, you know, stand up and say things during the service. If you could bear with me on this, I want to get this out because this is deep. Okay. I'm not sure I can even form the words, proper words, to be able to express what's in my heart today. But I just, if you just bear with me and allow me to do that, you can ask questions and stuff afterwards, okay? Is that okay? You know, there's a lot of freedom here. We have a lot of freedom here. We have freedom here. I know a lot of, not many in America, but I don't think American churches are much different than what I see all over the world. And there's not a lot of freedom. There's control. The church leaders want to control the people, thinking they need to control them because they don't know how to run their life. But Mr. Preacher Man does. So I want to control you to help you. Yeah. So can we just agree together? Father, take us deeper today. Take us deeper. Let us dig out of the spirit today. I do not want this to be a mental thing. I do not want you to walk out with more information, more knowledge about maybe even what the word says. I want you to walk out of here with a greater knowledge of the one who wrote this. This book, it's not primarily a study book. It's not primarily a book of principles. It's not primarily a book to learn doctrine and theology out of. It's not primarily a book to learn about God. It's a book to know God. To know God. To know Him. To hear Him and know Him. I think you're beginning to see what's been happening to me. I thought about, you know, how John got exiled to the island of Patmos, you know, and here this guy's got all this God going on inside of him, and he's got so much ministry to be able to give out. He gets exiled where there ain't nobody to minister to. What are you going to do? And I was thinking, what would I do? If I can't minister to people, if I can't release love and release your truth, what am I going to do, God? He said, I'm going to show you. This is God working together. He will work together and make good everything that happens in my life. And this thing, it happened. So now God gets an opportunity to do in my life what he couldn't do because I was so dang busy. Because I had so many dang things. I say dang because I'm going to show you a scripture that says something even heavier than that. He goes beyond dang, okay? They got in the way of the most important thing for each one of us. If God were to say to you today, I want you to write a letter about anything you want, and I'm going to insert it in my Bible. God's saying that to you. If he were to say to you, I want you to write a letter of things that are really important to you, that you would want people reading my book to read, what would you write about? What would you write in that letter? What are some, you know, really important things in the kingdom? Here, you know, I look back on my life and the things that I went through, all of these phases, okay, about the things that I needed to learn. We all need to learn about, you know, what God does and how he reveals himself. But we need to know that it's about God revealing himself, the signs and the wonders, okay? What are all of those for? To get excited about the sign? In the wonder? No. The signs point to something. Signs point to Jesus. Wonders are to wonder about how glorious Jesus is. What are some of the things, okay, we could write about? Maybe you would write about. Maybe healing really important, right? To focus on that. Talk a lot about that. Right? But what is healing? It's a sign that points to the healer. Points to the healer. Everything you could possibly... Evangelism. We got a note from another local church saying, you know, we got this big evangelism thing going now. We're training people to, you know, to evangelize. Is evangelism important? Yes. What I'm going to talk to you about today is the most important. And if we get involved in all these other things without understanding and stepping in and walking in the most important thing, we're not going to come across right. We're going to come across to people like, that's what you think. I got what I think. You could keep what you think. Because I think what I think is just as good. Well, that ain't going to happen if we're bringing life. There are so many people. They're searching. Churches are filled with people that are searching. Would you agree? They're coming to churches thinking they're going to find what they want. And unfortunately, in most cases, they get something that's like going to bring confusion. Not going to bring clarity. It's going to bring a striving and an effort, a fleshly effort and striving for them to try to please God. Because they're thinking, if I could do all these things, then I could be, you know, then it would be good. And that will always bring you to the end. That will always put you out the door. That will always cause a frustration with this thing called Christianity. What's the first part of Christianity? Christ. It's Christ. It's about Him. It's about Him. So He took me on a little survey of all the things that I've put emphasis on over the years. He says it's good that, you know, they're all important in their place. But if we don't understand what the most important thing is, then all of that is going to be a flapping of your lips. It's like we stand in people's face and we tell them all the stuff we know. And this is what they're hearing. That's what they hear. But we stand in front of them and we know that we've got the treasure in this jar of clay that's fragile. We got a treasure. It's His life. And His life is what changes people. Oh my. So, let's go. Let's go on a trip. Open up your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. I like that, you know, Paul wrote, he wrote Romans. It's the most theological New Testament book. It's loaded. It's great stuff in there. Paul wrote that, and he wrote Philippians. He wrote Philippians from where? He's in jail. He couldn't go nowhere. He couldn't minister to nobody. He couldn't release all this great stuff that God had given him. He's in chains, stuck in prison. Now you would think he'd be crying out to God, God, you gotta get me out of here. You've poured so much into me. I've gotta help people. I've gotta bless people. I've gotta teach people the truth. I've gotta you would think he would do that, right? What do you do? Look at what he says here, because this is going deep. Philippians chapter 3. I'm just going to pick a few verses out of here, okay? It's so loaded. But he's bearing his heart. He's sharing his heart. He's letting us know exactly the depths of what's going on inside of him. And that's exactly what's going on inside of my heart right now, is what he's expressing is what's happening with me. And it's really sad that I have to be reminded of this. But I think that we all need to be reminded of it. And I think that, you know, if God's going to do that with me, I think he would do it with all of us. What do you think? Let's look at this. Let's look at, let's start with verse 8. Yes, furthermore, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss. As compared to the, I'm reading it out of the Amplified, by the way. Sorry, Harvey. I'll switch over in a minute. But this is, I just like the extra words in here. Amplified is intended to amplify words to, based upon the original language, to give us a better understanding of what's being said. Yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and supreme advantage of what? Of knowing. This knowing is not knowing about. It's not knowing facts about, not knowing truth about, not knowing what somebody's taught us about. This knowing is referring to intimacy, fellowship, communion, oneness, walking together, a harmony, a unity together with the person. This is what he's talking about. And can you hear the passion of his heart? I count everything a loss. Okay, everything. If we read before this, you would read about how in the flesh, in the natural, this guy was the most perfect religious zealot you could ever find. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I mean, this guy, he knew the scriptures inside out. He knew the doctrine. He knew the theology. He says that he was without fault. I couldn't find any blame in anything that he did. He was so perfectly right on with the word of God. And he's counting even all of that. Everything that he did, even for the Lord, everything he did for the Lord, he's counting it as nothing. God said to me, even your ministry, son, even your ministry, everything you do for me, count it as dung. What? Even the ministry, he's talking to me, even the ministry that you do for, there's the key word. You're going to see where I'm going here. Even what you do for me, count it as dung. It's not what I'm after. I had a Holy Spirit say to me once, I'm on the mission field. I'm out there in the middle of it, man. It's just stuff happening everywhere. And I'm getting all excited, ramped up, you know. he said to me, do you know that for me, it doesn't make any difference if you're raising somebody from the dead or taking a nap. What? Who are you trusting in? Who are you relying on to do what you're doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you out here on the mission field? Why are you doing this that you do? Why? What's your motivation? What is the reason? Ooh. What is our motivation? Why do we go out? Why do we witness to people? Why do we share our faith? What's our motivation? Get somebody saved? Is that our motivation? It's going to change here. The priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and supreme advantage. You want an advantage? Jesus told the disciples, getting ready to go back, he says, hey guys, it's to your advantage that I go, because if I don't go, I'm not going to be able to send the Spirit of God to live within you.
It's to your advantage that I go, because all that you've seen me do, you'll be able to do it with him in you, and even greater will you be able to do with him in you. You are about to enter into supreme advantage.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Where I'm headed is I'm going to show you how this happens. The supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, of having intimacy, having communion and oneness and walking with Christ Jesus, my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. Let's get out of the realm of knowing about Jesus and into the realm of becoming acquainted with. It's like two people seeing each other for the first time and like, ooh-wee, yeah, I want to spend the rest of my life with this person. And they get married right away. Well, they aren't even acquainted with each other yet. And once they begin that relationship, they begin to get acquainted with what the other one really is and what's going on with the other one. And it comes out of a sharing of hearts. That comes out of knowing what's inside of somebody. How many of you know that before you get married, you don't show the other person everything you got going on? Yep, there's a little bit of selfishness there, right? Okay, you don't really want them to know some of the things you got going on inside. I tell people that I've counseled with before the pre-marriage that I usually don't get past the first session. I tell them, you realize what you're doing. All the baggage that this person is carrying that you have not seen yet, as soon as you get married, you just inherited all their baggage. It's amazing, huh? The two of them look at each other like. I said, so, you know, if you want to continue on with this, you're going to have to be open and transparent. We're going to get the garbage out. Because each of you are not going into this for yourself, but you're going into it to bless the other person. Right? Because right now you've got all kinds of thoughts going on in your head of how that person's going to do it for you. And that ain't marriage. And that is not relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh boy. Of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly, for his sake I have lost everything and considered all to be mere rubbish, dung, in order that I may win, I may gain Christ, the Anointed One. In order that I may have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I let everything else go. All that I was before and all that even I have done for God. It's not, you know, really, it's not my ministry. I don't want my ministry. I hope you don't want your ministry. There's only one ministry I want to be involved in. That's the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Because he's pure in releasing the life of Jesus. He's pure in his motivation. He's pure in his thoughts and intentions about helping people. There's no self in it. I only want the Holy Spirit ministry. I don't want my own ministry. If you desirous of your own, there's a process you're going to go through. And you're going to come to the place where you realize, I don't want my own ministry. I don't want your ministry, Holy Spirit. That's what I'm after. Have you ever learned this? That the days that you have intimacy and communion with him, I'm talking, you know, you're carrying on a conversation. You're bearing your heart. He's speaking to you through his word. He's speaking to you. He's speaking directly to you. And you got a conversation going on. On the days that you have intimacy with Jesus, those days somehow turn out better than the days you have none. Have you ever noticed that? There's only three of us. Yolanda. You know, if we come to that realization, we come to that understanding that the days really are better when I spend time with you in real fellowship, real communion, the day really is better, then why would we ever do anything different? I'll tell you why. For me, this is distraction, responsibilities, all these things come. Oh, Tony, you got to do all these things. Work a job 12 hours a day, and then people calling me, will you pray for me? Will you come and do this? Will you come and do that? And here, I got to do everything because I want to bless them. But I'm in so doing it, I am missing the reason I was created. I am not in any way, shape, or form trying to tell you not to minister to people. What you're going to find out, if you haven't already, is that if it doesn't come out of your relationship and intimacy with him, it counts for dung. A person may get helped, but you ain't getting nothing. How many of you like dung? I've had a lot of days. I get done the end of the day, you know, and if I look in the spirit, I see one big pile of dung. Because all these things that I tried to do and I tried to make happen and I tried to accomplish and the things that I did in the name of Jesus, but it was in my own strength and not coming out of intimacy and relationship with him. Verse 10, ready? For my determined purpose is... What's your determined purpose? Determined, that means I have decided. I have decided. For most, it's I have decided to follow Jesus. I don't want to follow him. I want to join together with him and live his life together, the people. I don't want it to be something that I do. I want it to come out of who I am and who he's made me to be. And out of my relationship with him, then you're going to begin to see tremendous change in everything around you. For my determined purpose, today, let us have a determined purpose that we will not be sidetracked off that purpose ever again. Let us have a determined purpose today that whatever it was before, here one day, here another day, next week and I'll have another determined purpose, and then 2 weeks later, well, this is what I'm determined to do. No! There's got to be one determined purpose for all of our life. My God, I hope you get this. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I might have intimacy with him, that I may have communion, and I may have fellowship with him, that I may walk with him, and we talk together and laugh together and sing together, that I will know him. There is no relationship on this planet that will ever succeed if we don't have a desire to know the other person, to have intimacy with them, to know what their heart, what's on their heart, and how I could bless them. Well, you'll never have a relationship work. How many of you know firsthand? You know firsthand. It's only by the grace of God that I'm still married. That I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. Are you seeing this? That I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted, knowing him, knowing his heart, knowing his mind, knowing how he thinks. Knowing how he loves, knowing how he longs to bless people and touch people. It's so hard for me to do this sitting down because I just want to jump all over. It's really hard. Perceiving and recognizing. What is perceiving? Becoming aware of. Consciously aware of his presence. What can we say about our day? How much during our day are we consciously aware of his presence in us and on us? I'm telling you, we try so hard to work up faith. We try so hard to be faithful people. I'm telling you, faith is a natural outflow of relationship. I'm telling you, provision is a natural outflow of relationship. Everything that we're after and striving to make see happen is a natural outflow of our relationship with it. It just happens. That's his intended purpose. Perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person. Wow. The wonders of his person. It's him. He's a person. He wants fellowship, just like your spouse wants fellowship with you. He's a person. God person. A person. Understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed. Now, the Amplified says in spirit. No, that's wrong. Cross it out. It's transformed in soul. When you get born again, your spirit's 100% transformed. Your spirit is 100% born again. 100% seated in heaven with God. 100% pure and holy and righteous and awesomely anointed. Your spirit's got everything. It's our soul that needs to be changed, that needs to be transformed. Our mind, our will, our emotions, okay, into his likeness. Into his likeness. I'm just going to read a couple more verses. That if possible, I may attain the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. You know what's available to us, Oren? Right now, there is resurrection life flowing to that crack in my bone. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says that the Holy Spirit will release the resurrection life to our mortal frame. If you believe, I believe that right now there is resurrection, the same life, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is flowing through my bone right now. And that bone is smiling. I can see a smile. I got a happy face right on it. I mean, it's like smiling happy. It's like singing. Yeah, I woke up the other night. Somebody was singing. Oh, it must have been. Probably my bone. It was, yeah. Not that I have attained this ideal or have already been made perfect. Hello, can we say that? I'm not there yet. My relationship's not perfect yet, right? Okay. But I press on to lay hold of or grasp and make my own that for which Christ Jesus the Messiah has laid hold of me and made me his own. Why did he grab hold of you? Why did the Spirit of God draw you, woo you to Jesus? Why did he bring you into his family and bring you into his... Why? One purpose. For fellowship. For intimacy. To be one with him. To walk with him. To know him. To really know him. You want to strive? Strive for that. For that relationship. To be brought to that place where the things of heaven are more real to you than the things of this earth. What's that song that says, as the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace, in the light of his glory and grace on me and in me, all the things of this world are growing strangely dim. Their hold on me becoming less and less, and the reality of his world in heaven is becoming more real to me. His voice and hearing his voice is becoming more real to me than the voice of the world and the voice of people. And his voice is more real. This looks like a good time to talk about what happened at the doctor's this week. So it had been 6 weeks since this thing happened, and he took another x-ray, and the x-ray showed, of course, the crack wider. And he said, okay, now you're not going to be able to, you need to just stay the way you are for the next 4 weeks. You come back again in 4 weeks. I said, what, no. What do you mean stay the way I am? I mean like no exercise, no starting to walk? No, stay the way you are for the next 4 weeks. Now, when he said that, I knew it was not my Heavenly Father talking. Because of my relationship with the Lord, because of my communion with Him, because I know how the Holy Spirit has showed me the heart of the Father, and these were not the words of my Heavenly Father. And what God has showed me was that February 19th, I'm going to be in Liberia. And this dude's saying, I can't even start therapy until the first week of January. And I said, well, this is what's going to happen. February 19th, I'm going to be in Liberia. He said, what? I knew when he was talking, it was not the voice of my Father. I knew that when we needed to move the trip, and we moved it to February 19th, that was the date, and I would be all the way. I knew that. And I told him, well, it ain't happening because I'm going. And he said, well, you're crazy. They have Ebola there. I said, no, they don't have Ebola there. They did years ago. They don't have any more Ebola. And now he's like picking at straws because he knows I'm not going to agree with him. And he's sitting there and he's looking at me, looking right in my eyes. And then he says, oh, well, okay. You can start. You can start with 25% weight on this leg right now. You said you go over a scale. You push down till you get 40 pounds. That's 25% of your 160 pounds. You push down so you know what 40 pounds feels like, and you start walking. He said, and we're going to start therapy. I already said that's not happening for a month. Okay, so when I responded based upon what I know God said to me. Something happened in this dude, and now he's saying what I wanted him to say. and he said, okay, you can start right now. He says, you know, your body will let you know. I said, yeah, the Holy Spirit will let me know. Yeah, so I begin this week. I already started it. I already started putting weight in. And the beauty is, if we don't have intimacy with Him, we're not hearing His voice and knowing what He has in store for us. We could actually take the counsel of someone who's working out of their fleshly understanding, their worldly understanding, and we could step into a carnal experience of flesh instead of a God experience of what the Holy Ghost wants to release in our life. But we need intimacy. We need to have communion with Him for that to happen. It was instant. I just knew instantly. He's talking. I knew. This ain't you, God. This ain't you. I'm going to have to tell him. I'm going to have to tell him. And I mean, he was a nice guy. He wanted to talk about, you know, going on safari in Africa. He was a nice guy. But he didn't understand how the shift happened. It happened because the Spirit of God had already spoken to me. And I knew that it was my Father's heart. This is it. And I didn't have to argue with Him. I just needed to declare. Okay, so I'm there, and the Holy Spirit brings to my remembrance an event that happened back when my mother-in-law, she's gone home to be with the Lord now, was getting married the second time because her first husband had gone home to be with the Lord. And they're having an outside marriage. And we're there. Nancy and I are there. It's just a few people. And it's raining. And it's totally overcast. There's no sun anywhere. And it's 11:45, and the ceremony starts at 12. 15 minutes. And they're saying, looks like we're going to have to cancel it. Looks like we're not going to be able to do this. What's the scripture? In 1 Peter, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Now, my religious training wanted me to do this. My religious training wanted me to go behind a wall or something, okay? And then just begin rebuking the devil and speaking to those clouds and commanding to move in the name of Jesus and continue to hammer that thing until it moves out of the way. But that didn't happen. Because of my heart, of knowing the Father's heart, cast all your cares upon Him. Because I already care for you. I already know the situation you're in. I've already got it handled. Just trust me. So out of my mouth comes, at 12 o'clock, it's not going to be raining. And the ceremony is going to go on. My wife was there. She'll vouch for it. It's still 1 minute to 12. Now, there was no, like, you know, crazy charismatic thing, okay? I'm not saying it's not needed sometimes. Sometimes that's needed. But I'm telling you, we should be going less and less with that and more with a settled calm of knowing my Father's got me. My Father's got me. My Father's plans are good. This is nothing going to harm me. Nothing's going to hurt me. I'm just going to simply declare it because this is the heart of my Father. Jesus went about doing good because he knew the heart of the Father was to do good. We should know that. And it comes out of communion, out of fellowship with him. That clock went to bing, noon, and poof. Clouds opened, and the sun came down right where we were. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of that event while I'm sitting in the doctor's office. Because I was thinking, am I going to have to rebuke this dude? Am I going to... In the first place, we don't have to rebuke people, okay? If he's not thinking like God, well, he's under the influence of his flesh or a demon, okay? My confidence is in my Father, in Jesus. Please understand, I'm not saying that you never need to do warfare. There's times you do, but we should in our lives be seeing less and less of that. And more of just, you got this, God. You got it, Father. You've got it, Father. You got it. And just watch a miracle happen. That's what intimacy and communion and knowing Jesus, that's what it brings us to. Living a life that it's just, we just see this kind of stuff happening. Oh. Oh. Where is that in Peter? 1 Peter chapter 5, I think. Right? Cast all your cares upon him. All your cares. All your cares. He's talking like a father to us now, okay? Cast all your cares upon me as your heavenly Father. Do I not know your tomorrow? Do I not know everything about your life? Do I not know what's ahead for you? Do I not know how to handle these difficulties? Do I not know? Cast your care upon me. You know, you can do that silently. You can do that without saying a stupid word, a single word, any word. I trust you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Wow. Wow. You know, I believe that for me, for a long time, my life was a constant battle. Fighting against the enemy, fighting against all these things going on, and have a constantly fighting and battling. Our life should not be that way. Has Jesus won the victory? What has he won the victory over? Everything! Everything. All right, now switching Bibles. Go to. No, some of you might not know this verse, John 3:16. How many of you, that's the first verse you ever learned? John 3:16. Yeah. All right, I'm going to give you something now. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever. What's the qualification? You're offering what? Here I am. And whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All right. Let me ask you a question. Was forgiveness of sin the goal for Jesus' coming? No. The goal for him coming was fellowship and intimacy with us. Sin just happened to be in the way of that to happen. So he came, he dealt with the obstacle so we could have communion again. We could have fellowship again. Sin was the obstacle. The church is still focusing on the thing that God just said, let's get it out of the way. We're not even going to remember it anymore. That's just standing in the way of what I really want. I just really want relationship. Let's get sin out of the way. The church is still stuck on sin. Not me. Not me. Everlasting life is eternal life. He came to give us eternal life. Now, for me, for years, long time, I thought eternal life meant that I'm going to live forever. You know, Hitler has eternal life. It's not in heaven, probably. We don't know. He may have, the last second, decided to receive Jesus. We don't know that, right? But everybody... everyone in this room, you all have eternal life. All the people out there walking around that have never received Jesus, they have eternal life. They're going to live somewhere, but they don't have eternal life, this eternal life. This eternal life is referring to Jesus. Jesus is eternal life. I mean, I don't want to just live eternally somewhere outside of Jesus. I want him. I want to live in him as eternal life. Okay, go over to John 17, and I'm gonna, then we're gonna plug this back into John 3:16. John 17, let's read the first three verses. Jesus spoke these words, then lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and know Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And this is eternal life. Eternal life is to have relationship with Jesus and the Father. Eternal life comes, the Holy Spirit brings us into relationship with the Father, brings us into relationship with Jesus. That's eternal life, to have a relationship. That's eternal life. Okay, so John 3:16, so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him will come into personal, intimate relationship with him. There it is. Interpreting scripture by scripture. Plugging it in. Okay, look at this. Go to 1 John. Why did John write 1 John? I don't know. You don't know? Okay, I'm going back to that question. If God said to you, if you could, you could write a book, write a letter, what's the one thing you would want to get across to someone? You would want to show them the way to come into relationship, fellowship with the one who made them, right? That's what people want to know. They really want to know. Everyone's created with an emptiness that God puts inside of them that only relationship with him can fill. How many of you have tried many different things to fill that spot? Yeah, you ever remember standing in front of a refrigerator, open the door, and you're just standing there looking in there? And you don't know what you're looking for? Yeah. Well, he showed me once. I'm just standing there looking in the refrigerator like, what am I doing here? What am I looking for? You know, what he showed me was that was the yearning on the inside of me to be in fellowship with him. And at one time it really got me was I used to be a basketball crazy person. I used to love to watch basketball. My favorite team, it's the finals, the last game, and I'm watching it, and it's just a few minutes from the end, and it's really close, and the Spirit of God says to me, "Turn it off and come sit with me." Now, how many of you, maybe some of you here, you're sports nuts, okay? You got a favorite team, and you just, you know, love this stuff, and you got to watch it. You know, you're glued on it. What would you do if the Spirit of God said to you, it's the final, it's the last game, and he said, "Turn it off and come sit with me"? He said that to me. I said, my head does not understand this, but I'm turning it off. Turned it off. I went in and out of the room. I sat down. I said, "Holy Spirit, I'm here.
I cry every time I talk about this. I said, what did you want to talk to me about? He said, nothing. I said, what? He said, nothing. I said, oh. And then he said, I just wanted to be with you. And I sat there for the longest time just crying. Just crying, realizing that's what I was created for. That's the first thing I was created for, to have a relationship with you. God, thank you. I'm so grateful that I didn't stay and watch that stupid game. Do you know that I have never since that day ever watched another basketball game? And it wasn't because I made a decision. It's like that became dung to me. It's like it became of no worth, no value to me. It just, all of a sudden, it's like, because I began to enter into the reason why I was created. My God. So here John is writing, and his reason for writing this letter, he puts in the first three verses. Let's look at it. I don't really want to go long, but there's still a bunch more I want to share with you. So, you know, I can cut it short, and we can pick it up some other time if you want. But the problem is, every time I do that, I never pick it up again. You ever notice that? A lot of times I say, we'll finish this message next time, and I never do. It's always something else. Anyways, I would rather say, look, if you got a place to go, you got something to do, go ahead. Harvey's taping it. And you can always listen to it. Okay. So I'm okay with that. I'm totally okay with that. Okay. You understand there's no condemnation here, okay? You know, don't ever drop your sport thing because you heard me say this. But if you hear the voice, if you hear the voice of God speak to you, you better drop it. You better drop it. So he says here, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. That the word of life is Zoe. It's God's life. The life was manifest. This God life was manifested. And we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, there it is, eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Eternal life is not length of days. Eternal life is a person. Eternal life is Jesus Christ. Eternal life is a relationship with Jesus, is a relationship with eternal life. He's trying to get this across. He's trying to tell you, eternal life is just not that you're going to live forever. Eternal life is this relationship with the eternal life, Jesus. Hallelujah, soak it in, soak it in. Soak it, it's a truth. That's eternal life. And so many Christians, for me, for so many years, I was caught up in so many things, but missing eternal life. Well, did I have salvation? Yes. Was I operating out of eternal life? No. And missing it. And missing it. Verse 2, the life was manifested. I just read that. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write, and here he says it, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. How many of you like joy? How many of you like to have your joy topped out as full as you could possibly get? Joy. Like it says, Jesus was stoked to the max. I love that. Scripture says, Jesus, when the disciples said, well, where are we going to go? Jesus, you have the words of life. And it says that Jesus was stoked to the max. He was filled with joy to the max. And I could just picture him doing a happy dance. I'd do it right now for you if I could. Because, I got my bone is happy. My bone is like dancing inside of me. I'm telling you, it's true. It's true. We've emphasized all the minors and not emphasized the major.
one thing, our relationship with Him, our intimacy with Him. Our intimacy with Him. Oh my gosh. What if I had a little kid? Could be my little kid, or could be my grandkid when they're little, and I pick them up, you know, tossing them, bouncing them around, flying them like to fly our grandkids. I like to fly. Fly me, Grandpa! Fly me, Grandpa! Like that. What if out of that little kid's mouth comes this? I confess with it in my mouth, and I believe in my heart that my dad, my grandpa, will not drop me. He will not drop me. He will. I confess it in my mouth and believe in my devil. I rebuke you. You're not dropping me. Now, do you think you're ever going to hear that out of a little kid that's being held by daddy or grandpa? Why? It's absolute, total trust, confidence, and faith that daddy or grandpa's got them. Faith comes out of relationship. Faith, real faith, God faith, comes out of intimacy. You're so secure because you know His heart that He would never do anything to harm you. Never! Impossible! He's got the means to hold you and carry you all the days of your life. He's got the means, the desire, and the heart to do it, and He will do it. And I went through this phase, and I know maybe any of you went through this phase. You're caught up, you know, and you know, you got to rebuke the devil for everything. You got to enter into warfare and deal and fight and bang and hit and on everything, you know. Oh, the devil's coming against me. You know how big your father is. It's like the story of a little kid was going across town to get to the street, and there's a bully in the street, much bigger than the little kid, and the bully says, "You come over here and beat the tar light out of you." The little kid leaves. Goes back home and says, "Dad, take a walk with me." Holding Dad's hand and walk to the street, there's the bully. "Thanks, Dad." Bully leaves. There's no screaming, there's no yelling, there's no running, there's no fear, there's no anxiety. Why? I got Daddy. I got Daddy. You see who's with me? Hey, you see who's with you? You see who's with you? Do you see who's with you? You got Daddy, the Creator God, Almighty God. He's with you. He's in you. He's upon you. He's all-powerful and all-loving. And do you understand? 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 16 says, God is love. Do you know? Do you know? We think that God has no need. Because God is love. Love has a need to receive love back. Listen to me. You're going to find this out if you haven't already, that He who created you and wants a relationship with you has a need to receive love back from you, has a need to receive praise and honor from you. We think God has no need. Listen, love has a need. God, because of His love for you, He wants to lavish you just spectacularly. He wants to pour out upon you the greatest, most awesome adventures in life that you could ever imagine because of His love for you. He just wants to pour it out. But it's so nice when He gets a little back. All through Scripture, you see, praise the Lord, magnify the Lord, extol the Lord. We think those are just words that we say. Oh, praise you, Lord. Oh, I extol you. I magnify you, Lord. We just think it's just words that we say. We don't understand that He has a need to get a response back from all that He's given to us and all He's poured into us. Just a response of, I love you, Daddy. I'm so grateful, Daddy. I love you so much, Daddy. I'm so thankful for what you doing in my life and how you're carrying me and how my future rests in you. That demands love, demands a response. And I hope you're getting this because this is whacked me good. I hope you're getting it. I am not putting down all the things that we do, okay? I'm just telling you, it needs to come out of relationship. It needs to come out of relationship. We've made we've made the thing that is supposed to spring out naturally from our relationship with him the thing that we're focusing on. It's not carrying the life that it should. Just like the little child has zero fear when in the arms and being held by his daddy, we should have zero fear. We should have zero fear because he's got you. He's got you. Look at this. This has got to be in King James, okay, Harvey? Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. I'm not going to read all about what's going on in heaven right now, but it does tell us. It just, whew, there's some praise happening there. Oh, wow, there's some worship going on right now in heaven. In heaven. Right now. And you can read it. You read it in verse chapter 4, verse 8. I just want to go down to verse 11. You know, Psalm 22 says that God inhabits our praises. You want to see his presence come? You want to see his presence come upon you? Begin praising him for who he is, for all that he's done for you, for how he's so lavishly taken care of you. Begin praising him. He inhabits our praise. We think that, oh, that's just the first part of what we do during a song service. No. It'll change our life concerning praise and worship when we understand the effect that it has on God. Not just us. On him. What is it? Zephaniah something. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse something says that he dances and he sings over us when we praise him. Activate your sanctified imagination. Begin to see God himself dancing and singing over you as you praise him. It's my son, my prized possession, my son. It's my daughter. Look at her. Praising me, honoring me, understanding how much I love her, understanding how much she means to me, understanding that her worth and her value is not in her performance, but it's in the fact that she's my daughter. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, the world's always going to need servants. The church is focused on servanthood. But our servanthood has got to come out of our fellowship. It has to. It has to. It has to. He says in verse 11, you are worthy, O God. Is that what you got up there, buddy? Thank you. You're good, Harvey. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they, and for your pleasure they are and were created. Were you created? Yes. Why were you created? You were created, and you are right now created for one reason. For his pleasure. For his pleasure. For his pleasure. For his pleasure. Glory to God. All right. I just got a few more scriptures. Go to Acts chapter 13, because you're saying, how do I do this? Anybody saying that? Acts chapter 13. Look at this. Acts chapter 13, verse 2 says, as they ministered, what does it say? Acts That's it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I haven't even drank any of that yet. Thank you. Thank you, man. Mm.
Ha!
You have no idea how much I want to stand up. I don't want to just stand up. I would be right now dancing around this. I would be dancing around this place right now. That's what I would be doing. It's so thankful. Okay, Acts chapter 13, verse 2. As they ministered, what does it say? What's the next word? What does it say? What's the next word? As they ministered, say it again. Two, not four, not in the name of, as they ministered to, as we minister to him. For years I read that, minister to the Lord. He doesn't need ministry. People need ministry. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, you want to hear the Holy Spirit say more? Start ministering in praise and worship to him, to him, to him, just directed to him. Go ahead. You're going to see the presence of God's going to come on you. The Spirit of God's going to begin speaking to you. He's going to open up the spiritual realm like you've never seen it open before. He's waiting. The Holy Ghost is waiting. He's waiting for us to get this revelation, step into it, and begin seeing his world, which is our world, become more real than this world. Hallelujah! Yeah. Hallelujah! Yeah! Yeah. Woo! Minister to, not for, the Lord. Build a relationship, build intimacy, build communion, build discussions and conversations. Let it build. There is no relationship that happens overnight. You tell me, which one of you got married and you just instantly had the best relationship ever? I mean, can you imagine going up to the day after you got married, you go up to your spouse and you say, okay, man, like right now, whatever, all the good stuff you got, I want it. All the good stuff I got, you're going to get it. We got the best thing going ever, man. You'd be disappointed on day two and day three and day four, right? Right. Why? Every relationship needs work. Takes time. We have to put time into it. I want to tell you, you set aside a time. Well, let me ask you this. Adam and Eve, before the fall, what did they have to pray about? What battles did they have to fight? They didn't need to rebuke devils. They didn't need to intercede. They didn't need to do all the things that we do today. What was their purpose? Fellowship. Jesus bought back for us the return to the original plan. It's up to us to receive it, believe it, step into it. I want to tell you, because I know from experience, when you decide that you're going to begin giving time every day as a priority to spend time in fellowship with him, all of hell is going to begin to come against you. Really? One thing that I'm learning to do is even during the day, if I'm working during the day, I will set aside 15 minutes, half hour during the day, because I get hit with all kinds of crapola. That I'm gonna fellowship with him. I'm just gonna move into that place of presence. Now, if I was working for somebody, I would not be charging them for the time. Of course, I'd take it off. I would only charge them for my working time. But I think it's necessary for all of us. If you can't do it before you go to work, then make your break. If we don't set the priority, I'm telling you, you will be presented with all kinds of things to give you a different priority. This world and people and the enemy will give you all kinds of reasons other than that to find other things to do with your time. You will. It will happen. That's a fact. Because the enemy knows this. He knows what will happen as we grow in relationship. He knows what will happen. He's going to get put out. There's a story I heard about a British test pilot. And he was testing a jet. And he's way the heck up in the atmosphere. And he watched his fuel gauge go like that. And he looked back and there was a rat in the back chewing on the fuel line. And he realized, there's nothing I can do. I'm going to be out of fuel shortly. And I'm going to crash. And then he had the thought, wait a minute. If I go high where there's no oxygen, that thing will die. So he went. He went straight up. No oxygen. The rat died. We need to turn our hearts fully to him, go straight into him, and all the rats that are trying to chew on our life, boom, they're going to fall off. It won't be because we rebuked them. It won't be because we did spiritual warfare. It won't be because we're so smart or we're so good and we know so much theology. It'll be because the King of Kings sucked the air out of those rats. Hallelujah. 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 It's so true. It's so true. Oh, my God. And I'm looking at this time that God's allowing me to have right now where I can't do anything. Oh, but I can do something. And I'm taking back the time that's been stolen from me in my relationship with the Lord. And in the morning, I'm cracking open the Word and I'm spending half the time just crying. Listen, what do we mainly do when we pray? We pray, God, we got a whole list. God, I need. It's like going shopping. I can't get the shopping cart. Okay, God, fill up my cart. I got all these things I need, okay? And then we're going to walk out with a cart full. Look at what God gave me. Isn't that how we mostly pray, okay? Our prayer needs to shift to this. 95 to 99% praising, thanking, honoring and communion with him. You take the last 1% and just happen to mention the things that need to be done. And you're going to see it done. It won't be by your strength. It won't be by your might. It'll be by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm feeling like I have to stop. I don't think I'm unique in the struggles that I have. I think you all have them just like I do. I don't think I'm unique in that letting it get slipped over me that there's so many things that I get caught up in doing. Good things, but not the best things. That I miss the best thing. You know, I believe this, that if we ask Holy Spirit to help us, God, you know we're weak. God, you know that in my own strength I could never pull this off. God, you know that I'm easily deceived in the natural. I'm easily duped. I'm easily sidetracked. You know all that. But you also know that as I trust in you, you will reveal yourself to me. If I set my heart to seek you, to know you, you will show yourself. You will reveal your real heart. We can have communion just like Adam and Eve at the beginning. We can have relationship, oneness. We can share each other's hearts. You can speak to me. I can speak to you as a son. No condemnation, no guilt ever. Acceptance. We come as we're already being accepted, Jesus, because of what you've done. Let it be our prayer. Let this be a day, a service like any other one we've ever had our entire life. Let's just make that decision with an act of our will. Choose to allow the Holy Spirit. He'll never force himself. But if we choose, he wants lovers to be able to love back in abundance. I choose. Just tell him, I choose to be that lover. I choose to be the one that will praise you. I choose to be the one that will honor you and bless you in everything. In everything. Not just bless you in words, but to let you know how thankful I am. That I'm your son. I'm your daughter. And your plan for my life is so awesome. I'm ready. I'm ready. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making it clear to me when I'm getting sidetracked. Thank you for making it clear to me that the time that I have with you is the most important time every day. Every day. And that everything I've ever wanted or desired in my heart is going to flow out of that. Not out of all the good things I'm doing, but out of that relationship. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for helping me. We agree together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We bless you, Lord. Oh, with all of our heart, with all that's within us, we bless your holy name. You're such a good daddy. Wow. 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 Amen. Amen. I done got it out. I didn't think I would. Whew.